Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
So we are talking about I Love Sundays, which is our series that we're beginning today. We are also beginning our small groups this week. We really hope that you have an opportunity to connect with one of these small groups where you can take these themes and study them a little bit deeper and learn and grow together and build relationships together. But when we think about Sundays, depending on what your experience was like growing up, Sundays may or may not have been a very enjoyable experience. For some of us, Sundays might have been a little bit boring, quite frankly, if we're honest. Sundays might have been a bit of a crazy rat race, trying to get everything done or get out the door. Or some of us grew up in homes where Sunday wasn't special at all, and it was just another day of the week to do whatever you wanted to do with. Or maybe it was a work day for you. Sundays might have been something of a disappointment for you in the home that you grew up in. You thought it was supposed to be a family day or like a day off, a special day, but that never really happened and your family didn't actually do anything special together. Or maybe the wrong thing happened, like dad made you do chores all day on a Sunday. For some of us, Sundays weren't great because Sundays was that day that we were with our non-custodial parent because we grew up in a blended family and we had to spend weekends with dad and the week with mom, and Sundays have some weird associations for us in that. Others of us grew up where Sunday was full of conflict because, well, church was something that we had to go to. But nobody was ever really ready to leave on time. Is anybody ever ready to leave on time, honestly, especially on a Sunday, right? And so you go through this process on Sunday morning, and you're getting upset, and you're angry, and all this stuff. And by the time you get in the car and get to the parking lot at church, magically, the smiles come on, and we're all fine. And you're like, why are we this way at home, but we have to be this way at church? And there's just this weird thing. The good news today that we want to talk about is that Sundays were never meant to be like what we just described. God made Sundays and this gathering to be something special for us. And he made it for you and designed this idea of the church, of the ecclesia, of the gathering of the saints to be together as a blessing for you. Jesus in Mark 2:27 said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Now, let me put a little disclaimer on this, all right? The Sabbath being a concept that from the beginning, and it was a concept through the Old Testament and an important part for the Jewish people, one of the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath technically is Saturday. But the church, the followers of Jesus, have always gathered on Sunday, the first day of the week, because that was the morning that Jesus rose again. I don't know if you knew that, that's why we don't do it on Saturday, that we do this on Sunday, because that was the day that Jesus rose. We don't talk about that enough. We talk about it on Easter, but 52, or sometimes we're blessed with 53 Sundays in a year, every Sunday is a resurrection day. Because that's what we're here to celebrate. And so, you know, today we live in a world where the pace of life, it is crazy, isn't it? It's so busy. And for some, it's literally killing us. And so when Sunday is done well, and I'll freely admit, I don't always do and haven't always. And my family that I grew up in and our family that we're raising, do we always do it well? No, we don't always do it well. But when it is done well, it can be a solution to the rat race that is out there. It always feels like we have way too much to do. God said Sundays are an antidote to that. It always seems like we're under pressure, but God made Sundays as a relief for that. And we rarely seem to have time for the really important things, but God thinks that Sundays can take care of that. And there's never enough time for family or the people we love or the rest we need. God designed Sundays for that. So with so much going on in our world, it is easy to lose sight of what really matters, isn't it? And God gives us Sundays for us to refocus, to reconnect, and to be reminded of what is really important in life. So we're going to be in Psalm 122. Tracy read it for us earlier, but that's going to be our primary text for today as we think about what God does on Sundays, what He wants for us, what His vision for you, for your family, for your life. And this is going to be kind of our theme throughout this for the next 5 weeks as we go on this journey as a church of what is it that God wants to and can do in Sundays, and what is it that He is inviting you and your family into in that. So let me pray for us before we get into Psalm 122. Father God, we thank You. Oh, Lord, we thank You. You are so good to us, God. And You have this wonderful, beautiful plan, this wonderful rhythm that You put into Your creation by resting on the seventh day and blessing it. And God, as we take that principle of rest, of Sabbathing, and we apply it to this day, God, help us to reset and embrace this rhythm that You have for us to be able to seek after You, to be able to be together, to be able to be about what is important in life. And God, would You be in our time today as we come to Your word, deepen our understanding of this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Psalm 122, it is a psalm of David. David was king of Israel, and he wrote a number of psalms. Some of them he wrote when he was young. Some of them he wrote when he was older, when he was king, when he was an adult, and all that good stuff. But in this psalm, in Psalm 122, it gives us a glimpse of how David felt about gathering together for the purpose of worship at what would have been called the tabernacle. Because the temple was not built yet. His son Solomon built the temple. So this was not about going to but the tabernacle, the place of worship, the tent of God, where the ark was, where the altar was, where worship took place for the people of Israel. And David pens this psalm, and in it we see his heart for being together with God's people to worship, to have fellowship, and to be reminded of the goodness of God. So we're going to see some different key principles in this that apply and connect with our experience here. And my hope is that you are encouraged as to what God wants to do in this time, in your life, and in the life of our church in this. So first we're going to see that he is surprised by joy, or we can be surprised by joy. In the first two verses, we read this. It says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet were standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was the royal city there, and that is where the house of worship was established, the tent of meeting, the tabernacle there in that space. And so David is talking about going up to the house of the Lord for worship. He describes his joy as he gathers with other worshipers. So that idea of worship for him was a community event. It was not an isolated thing. It was not a solo venture. It was something that he did with others in community together. There is an energy or an excitement in his words as he describes this going up there. Now, Speaking of the kids, one of the things that I just love about the kids and having the kids come up and having that time with them is the excitement that they have, right? They're excited, and we see it. And unfortunately, somewhere along the way, what happens in life is somebody gives us the idea that being that genuinely excited about stuff is odd. And that's really sad, isn't it? That's really sad. Because the excitement that those kids have to be here is infectious, isn't it? Could you imagine what our times together would be like? The joy that would be in this place if we had the excitement that those children had about being together, about getting to learn about Jesus, about getting to, you know, be part of the church. It would revolutionize this place, wouldn't it? No wonder why Jesus said we should have faith like a child, huh? But for some reason, our culture, life gets hard or whatever, and we don't have the same joy all the time. But David rejoiced at the idea of coming together for worship, coming together. And I get it that life is hard, right? And it seems like the last year and a half, it's been even harder, as though it wasn't difficult before. Let's just throw all of this pandemic stuff and political division and all this stuff on top of it. And now it just is like, why bother? Life can feel that way sometimes, can't it? And then you come to church and the pastor's telling you, you should have more joy in your life. Pastor David, haven't you looked outside? My goodness, how are we supposed to have joy in all of this? Why are we here? We already talked about it. Why are we here on Sunday? Remember, see, I think sometimes we forget this part, right? We're not here for a funeral, right? We're not here for a funeral. We're not here because Jesus died. We are here because he rose again. And it should be a celebration every Sunday. Because this is the best news ever, right? And David knew, even though he didn't know what God was going to do through the Messiah, through Jesus down the road, that he knew that he could trust in Yahweh and that his plan was good, and it was a thing of joy for him to worship, to be able to come together, to have that excitement. And so David was about joy when they came together. In fact, there's this one little vignette in 2 Samuel chapter 6 where when they were not long after David had become king and the ark of God was off in this other area because I won't get into the whole backstory of why the ark of God wasn't at Jerusalem and it wasn't at the tabernacle in the way that it should have been. And David realized, we got to do better. And so they bring the ark to Jerusalem, and they mess up one time, and they get around, and then they're doing it the right way this time. And David is so excited that they're setting up the place for worship in the right way, in the right. He is dancing before the ark in what the scripture says, a linen ephod. Well, let me tell you guys, a linen ephod is more or less their version of underwear. That's how excited David is he is dancing before the, and his wife, who had been daughter of the previous king, is embarrassed because David is so excited about this. He is making an absolute fool of himself in front of everybody, but he doesn't care because he is so excited about worshiping God. Now, I'm not going to suggest that we start getting a little crazy like David here, right? Right? This isn't clothing optional worship, okay? All right? That's not what we're saying, all right? So if you're visiting today, don't worry, come back. It doesn't get weird here, okay? But you get the idea. There is this willingness to express joy and not care about what other people think. And too many times, we worry too much about what other people think. We're not sure, can I raise my hands or not? Am I going to be judged if I do that? Can I tap my foot or not? Right? Can I close my eye? You know, what can I do? You know, let there be joy in the house of the Lord when we worship. All right? David was, we can be surprised by joy when we come together. This should be a joyous gathering. Surprised by community as well. On Sundays, we should be surprised by community, or I hope you are surprised by community. Three thoughts in this that happens on Sundays. First is we see connecting with God's people. Connecting with God's people. Verses 3 into 4 says, Jerusalem, built as a city, should be solidly united where the tribes, the Lord's tribes, come together. Right? Israel was made up of 12 tribes. Having one place for worship meant that they all came to one place. There was unity where they would come together to worship at the tabernacle. Later, it was the temple. And that brought unity to the nation. There was a sense of community around it. That when we come together, it doesn't matter if you're this tribe or that tribe or this tribe over here. We are all worshiping the same God. Same thing here. It doesn't matter what background you're in, what political affiliation you have, where you were born, what your skin color, what language you speak. This is a place where the God of the universe is worshiped and praised. Right? We have community because of Jesus. Not because of these other things that make us in common. It's because of Jesus. What was interesting is in the Old Testament, in Israel, not long after David, so David being the second king, his son Solomon was the third king. Solomon's son Rehoboam became king after that. And in Rehoboam, the kingdom split. Right? Imagining being that guy. Right? Remember for the guy that the kingdom split underneath you. What a bummer, right? But and what was one of the first things that they split over? They split over having to go to Jerusalem for worship. And as soon as they split the 10 northern tribes, the first thing that they did was they built an alternative house of worship. Coming together for worship on Sundays is core and essential to community. And they knew it, and they created a different place for the people to go to worship. Because they said, we can't let the people go to Jerusalem to go and worship because their heart will be for that, and they will go and they will be part of that nation. There was this understanding that when we worship together, our hearts are knit together. That God does something in that community that is spiritual, that cannot be defined in some ways. But it connects us. It connects us together. And they knew that. And so they knew if they were going to divide the people, they had to divide them for worship. But if we come together for worship, we stay united. Because what we worship is bigger than anything else that would divide us. That's where our heart is at. So we connect with God's people. Also on Sunday, we are connecting with God personally. We are connecting with God in a personal way when we gather together. David writes this. He says that the tribes would go up to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Now God had made it clear to Israel that he was revealing himself in a special way, and he was dwelling personally among them at the place where the ark was, the mercy seat that was above the ark, that was the throne of God, and he was present among them. Well, what does that look like for us, right? Because we don't have that. So guess where God is present? He's present in you. In you. And he's present in me. Because the Holy Spirit takes up residence in each one of us when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. That we now have the Spirit of God within us. And so when we gather together, we turn this building of brick and wood into the sanctuary of the living God. Because God is here because he is in his people. Right? So we are connecting with God personally in that. Now, sometimes people ask about, well, can't I just worship God in nature? Right? I love being outdoors. That is my place of worship, is to go and be outside and be in nature, and I don't really need other people with me to be able to do that. Now, I'm not saying that we can't appreciate God's creation, but I believe it does matter that we be with God's people. We had this experience, and this was even with God's people, mind you, but we were blessed to be able to take our kids to Maui when our oldest son graduated high school, do a little graduation trip. And we were really blessed to be able to do this. And we were there, and we really wanted to do a church service on the beach, right? And one where you could do it without having to wear a parka like you do here in Oregon, okay? And so we find one on the west side, a little bit north of Lahaina, a Calvary Chapel that has a beach service. And we were so excited, and so we go out there, and it was a pretty hot day, I mean, and even hot for there. And we're out there, and it's around, it was like an 11 o'clock service or something like that. And we're sitting there, and they've got the congregation looking out on the water. Now, that was a mistake, right? Because I didn't hear a word that was said. Because there's turtles in the surf. And I mean, my wife almost jumped up and jumped in to play with the turtles, right? There's people parasailing out on the water. I mean, it's just beautiful. And I'm there to worship and to hear the word of God, but I don't remember a darn thing. The only thing I'm getting out of it is this sermon illustration here and maybe a sunburn. I mean, it was a great experience. Didn't deepen my walk with Jesus at all, though. Sometimes we need to go somewhere where we can really focus in on God. And be with people that want to focus in on God. There's nothing wrong with doing these other things and recreating and enjoying God's good blessings that are out there for us. But if we never take the time to be together with God's people, to have that sense of unity, to be in a place where we are focused on God and what he's doing and learning and going deeper in that, our spiritual growth is going to be stunted. It's just going to be stunted. Without this, without what we're doing right now, without what you do in a small group, in a Sunday school class, without those things, we're stunted as believers. We're missing out. Because it is in these times where we are together, where we are focused, we are connecting with God in a very personal way. You don't have to be alone to get personal with God. That can happen in community, and it's really beautiful in community. Let me put it this way. I was thinking about this, and I thought, for me to go out in nature and say, I'm spending this time with God and to do that, but I'm so distracted by what's going on around me, right? I'm finding God on the golf course with Fred. No, that's not working. It's kind of like when I try to convince my wife that when we're sitting at the house and I'm watching a ball game on TV that it's quality time. That doesn't go over well, right? This is your quality time with the Lord. Do you carve out quality time with the Lord? Right? You can have quality time on your own, and having that personal quiet time is a valuable, important, if not even necessary thing in our life. But also doing it in community together is huge. because we learn from one another. We connect with one another. It deepens us. Third thing here, trusting in God's best for me. We see David trusting in God's best. Verses 4 into 5 says, this is an ordinance for Israel, and there thrones for judgment are placed, thrones of the house of David. So not just is there the act of worship, but David is recognizing here ordinance, that's law, that's command. Thrones, that's judgment, that's authority. He is recognizing that in this, that there is an authority that God has, that when he comes to worship, he is coming and submitting under that authority. Why? Because God has what is best for him, right? The nation of Israel was instructed to worship at that tabernacle because that was God's best for them. Because when they tried to do worship elsewhere, like the high places that the Bible talks about,